This is light to guide our feet. The 24/7 Authentic Christian Ministry of Trinity Baptist Church. I am Pastor Clarence William Page, and I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. I welcome you to our Sunday school lesson review for this, the 12th day of February, in the year of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, 2012, as reckoned by our calendar. If you have not been with us in previous Sunday school lesson reviews, it is important that you know that this is Trinity Baptist Church, but we follow the Sunday school lesson commentary of the Evangelical Sunday School. Now, we're looking today at the 2011-2012 Evangelical Sunday School lesson commentary. We do not read or present to you their commentary, but we do follow the Bible scriptures that they suggest. Again, we follow the Bible scriptures that are suggested by the 2011-2012 Evangelical Sunday School Lesson Commentary. This is the 60th annual volume based on the Pentecostal Charismatic Bible Lesson Series. Editorial staff, Lance Kolkmeyer, editor, Tammy Hatfield, editorial assistant, Terry Hart, general director of publications, lesson exposition writers, J. Ayodeji Adewuya, Lance Kolkmeyer, Dale Coulter, Gerald Daffy, Thomas Doolittle, Rodney Hodge, Joshua F. Rice, Sabord Woods, published by Pathway Press, Cleveland, Tennessee, USA. The Bible that I use in public ministry is the King James Version of the Bible. And so the scriptures read into your hearing will be read to you from the King James Version of the Bible. The Evangelical Sunday School Lesson Commentary suggests certain scriptures. The scripture outline for February 12, 2012 is first Psalm 119, verses 145 to 152. Then 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 to chapter 2, verse 3. And the book of Luke, chapter 8, verses 4 through 15, that is. Luke, chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. they use the topic, Grow Through God's Word. That's their topic for today. Let us now go to the King James Version of the Bible, first turning to Psalm 119. I would appreciate your getting your Bible. And even if you don't have a King James Version, please get the version that you do have. You may see some differences, but perhaps the King James will be instructive even in those differences. Turning to Psalm 119, verses 145 to 152. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hope in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness. O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from the law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are true. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Psalm 119. Verses 145, that is. Psalm 119, verses 145 through 152. Psalm 119, verses 145 through 152. The psalmist says in verse 1, I cried with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. If you have not read this verse before or have not heard it read, I pray that you will take to heart the message this verse conveys, because it talks, first of all, in the first person. The activity of the first person, the activity of the individual toward God. But not just the activity of the individual, the activity of the wholeness of the individual. That's how one reaches God, with his or her whole self, with the wholeness, with all one has. And so this person says, I cried with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord. This person wanted to be heard of God. And this is the formula. We need to be heard of God. He will hear us and answer us when we seek him or call upon him with our whole heart, with all our heart, with all our heart. Many people are unsuccessful in reaching God or are receiving a favorable response from God because they fail to call upon him with their whole heart, with their whole being, with all of themselves. God knows that if a person is not truly, truly calling upon him with their whole self, that there is some unbelief, some deficit, some falseness, some hypocrisy. Something is not right. One who holds back part of himself or part of herself from God is playing with God in some measure, is saying in some measure, God cannot see, God does not know that part I'm hiding. God does not know that dark part of me. God is not aware. As a matter of fact, they are in essence saying that God is not God, because they're saying that he is not all-knowing, that he is not all ever present everywhere. But God is omnipresent. He is present everywhere. He is not omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He is all omniscient, 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 O-M-N-I-S-C-I-E-N-T, omni and science, science meaning knowledge. When they hold back from God and pretend to God, they are saying that God does not have all knowledge. They are not seeing God as being who he truly is, all-knowing, omniscient, omniscience, all-around knowledge, everywhere knowledge, all knowledge, omniscient, O-M-N-I-S-C-I-E-N-T, omniscient. His omniscience, omniscience, science meaning knowledge, omniscience, when they hold back. So one who does not seek God with his or her own heart in the fullness thereof is setting him or herself up for failure in any attempt to establish relationship with God. They're holding back, and Satan does that. Satan encourages people to hold back, hold out on God, because people oftentimes are involved in ungodly activities. They harbor ungodly philosophies, and they put forth ungodly words, and they know in some way that God would not be pleased with that. But by failing to repent and say, Lord, I've done wrong, I know you know I've done wrong, I've said things I should not have said, I know you know that, I confess it, I've done things I should not have done, I know you know that, I confess it, I know you know all about me, I've been a false person, I know you know that, I confess it. Rather than do that, they hide it, and they come with God in an ancillary way, saying, please help me, but not revealing to him all that he already knows. Why would you hold back from God that which he already knows? Why would you hide or attempt to hide from God that which is already plainly clear to him? God knows everything about you. God knows everything about you. God knows everything about you. God knows everything about me. God knows everything about me. God knows everything about me. God knows everything about everybody. So the psalmist cries out in Psalm 119, verse 145, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. In establishing the connection with Almighty God, in seeking a hearing, an audience with God, the psalmist appropriately uses his whole heart and then says, hear me, O Lord. And then promises, commits himself to keep the statutes of the Lord. I will keep thy statutes. That's what God wants. The psalmist is a wise man. He knows what God wants. And so he uses the proper formula, crying out to God, and that crying shows the intensity of the effort to commune with God. I cry with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord. I will keep thy statutes. I have a cry that is intense that I'm going to implore in reaching out to God. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. I will keep thy statutes. Some of you say, well, I live in an apartment. I live in a built-up area. I live with others. I cannot afford to cry out to God. Well, I won't comment on that, but I will say, do what I've done in times past. If you have a car, get in your car and drive out to where no one is. And you cry out to God with all you have, with all your heart. Of course, I will take away your excuse, because when the king of Babylon made a decree that no one should pray or ask anything from any other god for a period of 30 days, the Bible says when Daniel knew that the writing had been signed, he went into his house, into his chamber, and opened the window of his chamber toward Jerusalem and prayed unto God as he had done aforetime. His accusers heard that crying out. He could have prayed silently, but Daniel apparently knew what the psalmist knew, that when you cry out to God, that you are more likely to get a response. And so Daniel did not go into his house and crouch down in a corner and say, well, Lord, you know, I'm praying to you because I'm going to pray silently this month, because the king has said that if anybody pray unto you during these 30 days, he'll be thrown into the den of lions. So I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to cry out. I'm just going to pray silently. So I'll have to take away your excuse that you cannot cry out because you're near other people. Cry out unto God. The psalmist says, I cried with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. And some of you say, yes, and if I do that, they will send the psychiatrist for me. And in this nation and in this generation, they may do that, my friends. That's just where we are right now. They may do that. They sent the people for Daniel, and they had him put in the den of lions. So, yes, they may send the psychiatrist. They may send the sheriff for you if you cry out. It's a shame that our nation, particularly the United States of America, has come to this point, but that's where we are. That's where we are. They may say you are crazy. Not only the people in your own household may say you are crazy. The devil has shut our mouths. The devil has shut our mouths in our own homes. And we are afraid to cry out unto the Lord. We are afraid to cry out unto the Lord. But the psalmist says in Psalm 145, in Psalm 119, that is, Psalm 119, verse 145, the psalmist says, I cried with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. He makes that promise. Many of you are not willing to make that promise, because you don't plan to keep God's statutes, because you don't believe the word of God, because you've been taught by people whom you hold in high esteem that knowing God or not knowing God is not important. Some of you have been taught that there is no God. You've been taught that you can do your own thing, and some of you perhaps have been taught that you yourselves are God, that you are God. Well, you are not God. There is one God, and you are not God. But this psalmist understands that God requires adherence to his statutes, his laws, And so this psalmist cries out, I will keep thy statutes. That's the formula right there for success in terms of dealing with God, your whole heart, crying out to him, asking him to hear you and saying, I will keep your statutes. I will do what you say in your law. I will do what you say in the Holy Bible. His statutes are found in the Holy Bible, this very book that we are reading. We will find the Word of God. We will find the commandments of God. And if we are willing to keep his commandments, we are assured that we are his, because he is willing to save us, sanctify us, and fill us with the Holy Ghost. Our job is to keep his commandments. But so many people on planet Earth today are looking to man as their God. They're looking to popularity. They're looking to rich people, and they're looking to the rich and famous. But I look unto Almighty God. My testimony is, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. That is my testimony. That is the testimony of Pastor Clarence William Page. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. Psalm 119, verse 145. Now, Psalm 119, verse 146, I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hope in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Before the morning dawns, I'm crying unto God. Before the morning dawns, I'm crying unto God. Before the morning dawns, I'm crying unto God. Before the night watches, I'm meditating in the word. Some of you, and I'm not making an accusation against you, this is just a true statement. Some of you do not pick up the Holy Bible from one Sunday to the next. Some of you do not pick up the Holy Bible from the beginning of the month until the end of the month. And some of you do not pick up the Holy Bible from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, except perhaps to move it from one place to another so you can dust where it was. You need to meditate day and night in the Word of God. And so the psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 146, I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. Again, he cries, he presents his request, and he promises God. Some of you are not willing to promise God. Some of you are not willing to cry. Some of you are not even willing to make your requests. These verses, I cried, he made a request, save me, and he made a promise. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. So the formula here, he cries, and it is, of course, insinuated after having read other verses, and particularly Psalm 119, verse 145, that this cry is again with his whole heart. Whole heart. Verse 146 of Psalm 119 says, I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. Verse 147 says, I prevented the dawning of the morning. I cried and hoped in thy word. Early in the morning, before the dawn, he cried. He cried. He cried before the dawn, before the sunrise, and hoped in God's word. Not only before the sunrise, but even before the light began to appear. And certainly this light is from the coming of the sunrise, but before the light begins to appear, early in the morning, psalmist cries unto God, before the morning comes, before the dawning, and hoped in God's word, faith in God's word. I know that God will do what he says. I know that God will do what he has promised. I know he will. will. Goes on in verse 148 of Psalm 119, mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. At night, the psalmist is meditating before the night watches. He is meditating in the word of God. This is how you commune with God, in his word, in his word. Verse 149 of Psalm 119, verse 149 of Psalm 119, hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. The request is, hear my voice. He is crying with all his heart and is crying, and now he is asking that God hear his voice, and he is acknowledging that God is loving and kind. And so not so much based on the intensity of his cry and his efforts as the psalmist asking God to hear him, but on the basis of God's own loving kindness. In other words, you love me, God. You love me, you love me, you love me. I don't assume nor pretend that I'm worthy to hear from you, but on the basis of your own loving kindness, hear me, Lord. Hear my word according to thy loving kindness. I may have sinned against you, someone may say. I am not worthy of you to look down and stoop down to hear me. But on account of the fact that you are loving and you are kind, you are loving and you are kind. Almighty God, you are loving and you are kind. Hear my voice on the basis of your own loving kindness. Hear my voice on the basis of your own loving kindness, O Lord. And he identifies him as Lord, putting God in his mind and in his domain. That is, in the psalmist's domain, God is the Lord. He is the ruler. He is the master controller. When anyone says, O Lord, one is acknowledging that God is the Lord, that he is the master controller, that he is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the King of kings, that he is the Most High God. And so he says, here the psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 149, hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. I need to be made alive. Or he may be saying, I need to be made more alive. Maybe he said, I need to be brought out of this ditch of despair. I need to be quickened. I need to liven up. I need to be saved. I need to be made alive. Perhaps there are numerous connotations of the word quickening, but the key is, make me alive. Some of you are breathing, but you really are not alive. Even some of you who've been saved, you are alive in terms of salvation, but Satan has killed your spirit. Satan has killed, that is, your joy, the spirit of joy, the spirit of happiness, the spirit of perseverance, the spirit of overcoming, the spirit of shouting, the spirit of praising, the spirit of glorifying God. Satan has attacked you so much that you won't praise God. You need to be quickened. And so the psalmist says here in the Old Testament, quicken me according to thy judgment. You know what I need, Lord. You know what I need. Use your loving kindness and your own judgment. Quicken me. Quicken me. Quicken me. Psalm 119, verse 150, they draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. He sees the evil ones, apparently, and they are not far away from him. There is danger around. He needs God. He needs God. You need God because they draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from the law of God. And where he says, do thy neighbor no ill, They don't care about that. He says, do not kill. They don't care about that. He says, do not steal. They don't care about that. He says, do not commit adultery. They don't care about that. He says, do not bear false witness against thy neighbor. They don't care about that. God says, do not covet. And they don't care about that. So the psalmist says to God in Psalm 119, 150, the verse 150, Psalm 119, verse 150, the psalmist says, they draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. And friends, there are some of you at this very instant who are far from the law of God. Some of you are involved in fornication. Some of you are involved in adultery. Some of you are involved in killing. Some of you are involved in stealing. Some of you are involved in bearing false witness. Some of you are involved in covetousness and many other sins. They are far, you are far from the law of God. And you need him. You need to cry out unto God with your whole heart. And you need to promise God. You need to tell him that you realize that you are far from his law. You need to tell him that you sinned. And you need to ask him to forgive you, to save you, to quicken you, make you alive in him. You need to ask God to save you, to save you, to save you, to save you, to quicken you, to make you alive in him. Psalm 151. But you know, Psalm 119, verse 151. That's correction now. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 151. Psalm 119, verse 151. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are true. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are true. I want to say to many of you who are listening today that you have been told by people that the word of God is not true. Many of you, you've been told that. You've been told, some of you, that there is no God. And so you are at a deficit. You are disadvantaged as it regards spiritual things. You've been lied to by those who are supposedly the intelligentsia. You've been lied to in your school systems. You've been lied to in your institutions of higher learning, quote unquote. And you are crippled. You've been spiritually crippled. You've been spiritually crippled. And you need to be rehabilitated. You are in great need. You are in great need of rehabilitation. Some of you are laughing at this because you've been so fully brainwashed and so fully lied to that you have accepted the lies, and you are so experiential and so scientific that you refuse to even assume that there can be any value in a quantity and a condition and a quality that we call faith. You refuse to acknowledge faith. You refuse to acknowledge God. That's why you ought to listen to me. Because even many preachers have been deceived. And many preachers, at least quite a few, the Bible talks about many false prophets. Many false prophets. Many preachers have been deceived, and you may go to their churches and still not gain faith in Almighty God. Not all preachers have been deceived, but many have. That's why if you listen to me, you will hear the word of God. And you can take the word of God, and you can use it to cry out to God. You don't have to believe in me. That's not important. But I pray that you will appropriate, that you will make your own, that you will take unto yourself the word of God. The word of God. This is about Almighty God. This is about the word of God. The word of God. That's a reason to listen to me, because you will get the unadulterated word of God. I will say to you what God says. I will say to you what God says. I will say to you what God says. So if you listen to me, this is my promise not only to you but to Almighty God, that those who listen to me will get the word of God. Psalm 119, verse 151, once again. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. I want to reiterate that. There are some of you who feel you're in the 21st century, and you feel you've got it going on. If you don't know God, you are miserably decrepit and miserably wanting. You don't know it because man has approved you, and man has affirmed you, and man has heaped accolades upon you. Perhaps man has put upon you great authority, great money, great privilege. Man has perhaps commended you and put a crown on your head. But that same man cannot keep his own heart beating. That same man cannot make himself live forever. That same man will one day lay down and die and will lie in the grave. And if God raises him because he is saved, he will live with God. Otherwise, he will spend his time in hell with Satan. These people who hold you in high esteem and whom you hold in high esteem, they are not God. They are not God. No one can take the place of God in your life. Not your mama, not your daddy, not yourself, not your wife, not your children. Nobody, not your preacher, not your deacon, not your pope. Nobody can take the place of Almighty God in your life. You need to know God for yourself. You need to know God for yourself. You need to know God for yourself. You need to talk to Almighty God for yourself. For yourself. Now, Psalm 119, verse 152. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. The economy of God is not temporary. His word is not temporary. He is not temporary. His commandments are not temporary, but they are forever. They are eternal. And the psalmist acknowledges in Psalm 119, verse 152, the psalmist acknowledges that God's testimonies are of old, and that he has known of old that God has founded them forever. This is what one says who knows the Lord. The people who taught you otherwise are liars. They're liars. Many of them are either atheists or false prophets, unbelievers, evil deceivers. I don't do name calling, but I must call them what they are. Your professors who have questioned Almighty God and said that there is no God, they are evil deceivers. They are ungodly. They are satanic. They are anti-Christian and anti-Christ. Anyone who denies that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is anti-Christ. And the Bible talks about anti-Christ. They are evil people. And some you say, well, they are my friends, and my professor comes to visit me, and I go to visit him or her, and he was just in my house last month or at the last holiday, and we have plans to take this cruise together. regardless of what you are doing with him or her. If he or she has counseled you against God, he is anti-Christian, she is anti-Christian, he is anti-Christ, she is anti-Christ, they are not good for you. They are harmful to you. You say, well, I learned so much science, so much philosophy, so much medicine, so much engineering from them. And perhaps you did. And perhaps they know their engineering, their science, their medicine. But they don't know the spiritual realm that God surely has established. And so they are harmful to you because their philosophies and their unbelief are leading not only them to hell, but now leading you to hell. And whoever you are espousing it to, you are seeking to lead them to hell. So I'm here to rescue you, my friend. I'm here to rescue you. I'm not here to make accusations, but I don't pull punches. When it comes to the Word of God, I give it to you in full force, in the fullness of the Word of God. And if anyone is telling you there's no God, that person is a liar and is pulling you down. Anyone who says Jesus Christ is not the Lord is anti-Christ, is evil. It doesn't matter who they are. Now in our Sunday school lesson, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22, to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. In the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 through chapter 2, verse 3. They read thusly, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. And now 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Peter, apostle of the Lord, takes it up here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 and following. He admonishes us to see that ye have purified your souls. Make sure you are saved. And you do that by crying out to the Lord with your whole heart, asking the Lord to hear you, to save you, to quicken you. And he says, in obeying the truth, you promise, as did the psalmist, to keep the Lord's statutes, to keep his commandments, and you do it by the power of God. Seeing you have purified your souls, it's your soul, get your soul purified, your life, your spirit, you will be purified. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, obey the word of God. Don't say you are God's and then not obey him. Those are his who obey him. He giveth his Holy Spirit to those who obey him, to them that obey him. He gives his Holy Spirit to them that obey him. Peter says here in 1 Peter chapter 1, seeing verse 22, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, seeing that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. We must love the brethren. That is a sign. That is a sign that we are saved. Loving those who are saved. Loving others who are saved. That is a sign that we are saved. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. This is a new birth. Born of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit. You were born of the flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Even you scientists ought to agree with that. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You need to be born of the Spirit. It is indicative in that you are walking and talking that you were born of the flesh. But that's not good enough. You must, while you walk and talk, while you're in the flesh, you must be born of the Spirit. That's what this is all about. If you have not been born of the Spirit, you are dead in your sins and you are headed for hell. You are destined for hell. If you have only one birth, and that is the birth of the flesh, that is your mother's birth, you're on your way to hell. You must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born again. Peter says here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's why Satan does not want you to come to the word of God. That's why Satan has taught you through your Antichrist college professors that God is not true. Satan has taught you that. That's why Satan has taught you through your Antichrist family members to not read the Bible. Because Satan knows that if you read the Bible and read the truth of God, that you will get saved. That you will be born again. And that you will avoid Satan's hell because you are born again. But until you are born again, your destination is hell. You must have the second birth. You must have the second birth. You must have the second birth. And when you cry out to God with all your heart and say, save me, and promise him that you will keep his commandments, that's when you will get saved. When you believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he died for your sin. And so Peter here in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. My mother was corruptible seed. She had to die. And indeed she has in the flesh already expired. But she had that new life. And so she is alive in the Lord. But that life which I got from my mother, from which was corruptible seed, I now have added to that the new birth. I have been born again of incorruptible, of God. My mother's birth was birth from an earthly birth, from below. But my second birth is from above. I now have the second birth from above, and some of you do not have that birth because you've been deceived by the Antichrist, and you do not have the life from above. You have not been born again from uncorruptible or incorruptible. You have the life wherein you were born of the corruptible, like I was born of my mother. Corruptible, a wonderful woman, but she was flesh. She was flesh and blood, corruptible. But I, since my birth, I have been born again of incorruptible, born from above. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, Peter says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. That's why Satan, my friend, does not want you to listen to me. Satan does not want you to hear the word of God. Because if you hear enough of it, you're going to be born again. You're going to have the second birth. And you're going to be born from above. And you're going to start telling people about how wonderful it is to have the second birth. Satan does not want that. He's doing everything he can to keep some of you from hearing the word of God. Again, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Hallelujah. It doesn't say hallelujah, but I said it. Hallelujah. 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 Being born again. Ask and answer this question to yourself. It is critical. How many births do I have? One or two? Have I been born again? Have I been born again? If your answer is you only have one birth, you're on your way to hell. If your answer to have I been born again is no, you're on your way to hell. You need to cry out to God with all your heart and say, hear my voice. Save me. I will keep your commandments. It is not hard, but Satan has hardened your heart. Your heart is hardened. And if you don't find a way to be born from above of incorruptible, you and your hardened heart will end up at your current destination, which is hell, an eternal torment. Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24 says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. This is reality, my friend. No matter how great, quote unquote, you are in the sight of man, no matter how much wealth you have in the sight of man, no matter how renowned you are, how learned you are, how degreed you are, how sought after you are, the truth is you are flesh. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24, Peter says, through the unction and operation of the Holy Ghost, Peter writes, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. One day you will die. Man may say great things about you and hold you in reverence and talk about What a great person you were. But just like grass, you will be gone. All of your glory, though they may encapsulize it and illuminate it for a while, but your glory also will one day fade away. All, A-L-L, flesh, is as grass. You've seen grass out there. You've seen the blade of it. You've seen it green and pretty with the dew of the morning. Then it was gone. It withereth. And that beautiful greenery that you saw has faded away. And even you began to forget that it was there. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away. 1 Peter now chapter 1, verse 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So on the one hand, Peter says, the word of the Lord endureth forever. He contrasts the word of the Lord by the use of the word but. He contrasts it with the grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And then he tells you, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This which I've read and am reading to you, this is the word, and this word endureth forever. So you have no excuse by saying, well, Lord, I didn't know how to get saved. You come to his word. I didn't know what your word was. Well, now you know. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This is the word. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word of the Lord. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Let's read it once again now, very correctly. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25. Now, going to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. And let's read verses 1 through 3. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I think that's so simple that you can understand that. You understand how, why we give milk to babes, to babies, that they may grow. They're not ready for meat, but they are given milk to eat or to drink. And they grow thereby, insinuating as you grow, you will get stronger and bigger, wiser. Then you can be fed with spiritual meat. Finally, for our Sunday school lesson review for today, let's turn to Luke chapter 8. In the New Testament, Luke chapter 8, in the Gospels, the Gospel according to Luke chapter 8. We're going to read verses 4 through 15 as we conclude our Sunday school lesson review for today. Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. Reading now, beginning at verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside, or they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they, which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. of February, in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2012. I am Pastor Clarence William Page, and you are listening to Light to Guide Our Feet, the 24/7 Authentic Christian Ministry of Trinity Baptist Church.